Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Dave. Hello, everyone.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest theme park news, pop culture news, and everything that's going on in our lives right now. So, what's up?
What's going on? Look at this.
The elephant in the room, yes, if you're listening, Banks is no longer on the podcast. He has moved on to the great, big, beautiful world of public relations over at Legoland, Florida. And to fill in, I have my friend Dave. Been friends for a long time. He's a big theme park fan.
He's here, babe.
Yeah, and I think someone actually asked you a question.
Oh, look at that. What do we got?
Favorite Disney classic.
Ooh. Okay. It's a debate between two. Okay. The first movie I ever saw in theaters was The Lion King. I was 3 years old. I remember watching up until Scar puts the rat in his mouth and falling asleep and then waking up and seeing Scar fall into his death. And I looked at my dad and said, "That's it?" And he said, "No, you were asleep." Cool.
That makes me think of a story. The first movie I ever saw in theaters was Inspector Gadget.
Matthew Broderick Inspector Gadget.
I went with my Nana and we got to the part where it was like Robo Gadget with like the rubber teeth and like the and he said, "I'm gonna kick some butt," and I had been raised at that point to think that that was a bad word, and I was like, "Nana, they say bad words in this movie. We have to leave." And then I made her take me home halfway through the movie.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
Did you cry?
No, I just felt like really bad and like embarrassed.
You felt unclean.
Yeah, I did.
You were like, "Inspector Gadget, I need a shower."
I was like, "I thought this was a kid's movie. They're saying bad words."
That's... No.
About childhood me there, folks.
Wow. I didn't know that. This is the first time I'm hearing this story. Yeah,
well, I don't tell it often because it's embarrassing, but you made me think about it.
And then the second one would have to be Aladdin for my crazy relations connection that I have with the genie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We're both crazy. We're both insane.
Oh my goodness. Well, everybody at home, this is Dave. He is my friend. He will be taking over for Banks. So we're here to have
hello.
What have you been up to this week?
It's hot.
It's hot here too, man.
This Florida heat is rough. And then theme parks, it's rougher.
Yeah.
It's real, real hot. But Florida.
At least you get rain. Here it's like in the 90s, but the real feel is above 100 and no rain. It's just dry.
Ow.
Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, have you tried frying an egg in the street yet?
No, I don't have any sidewalks.
I said the street.
That's gross.
I didn't say you had to eat the egg.
No, I'm not doing that.
For science.
Oh my goodness. No, Dave.
In the name of attraction science.
That's not a thing.
Episode 44, guys. We're starting this segment, attraction science.
That would be cool. Like the science of theme parks.
Big brain thinking right there.
Dude, I wish I could put like an effect that made my head super big, like big brain. We're not that high tech.
We should have a soundboard and we can just hit that X-Files theme song real quick.
I wish. That would be so cool.
We're a hot mess.
Yeah, we're just having fun. I haven't done anything this week except for work as usual, trying to learn the ropes of this and playing lots of Ghost of Tsushima. Love that.
How is that?
Oh my gosh, it's killer. It is like it's open world feudal Japan. You play a samurai who is on a quest to save his uncle after being captured by the grandson of Genghis Khan.
Oh, it's historical.
It's historical.
Okay.
It's insane. It's so, well, it's beautiful. There is a Kurosawa mode that was endorsed by his estate.
Is it black and white?
It's black and white with Japanese vocals, English subtitles, and even the sound design is different. It's gorgeous. If you're, yeah, it is so cool.
I'm going to have you send me that extra copy you got. I'm going to need that.
Just tell Josh and we'll put it right back in the mail for you.
Yeah.
But it is, oh man, it is so fun. I was playing it up until we got ready for this, and I managed to save a town and rescue someone's child, and then get revenge on someone whose clan was murdered. But it's so cool, and it's a beautiful game. It's kind of like the finisher for PlayStation 4, I think. But if the Game Awards even happen this year, I feel like this is Game of the Year.
Really?
I got a feeling. Yeah, because I feel like The Last of Us Part 2 is too divisive, so this will definitely take the cake, I think.
What about that Death Stranding, though?
Death Stranding was last year, so it doesn't count.
Was it? I thought it came out after.
It came out after what I thought was the cutoff, but they still had it up for Game of the Year last year, and it lost.
Oh.
Sekiro, I think. Don't ask me, man.
Okay. I'm going to leave that one alone.
I really like Death Stranding, though, but that's a topic for another day.
It's aight.
All right, well, let's get started with news in the queue, talking about all the latest happenings in the theme parks this week. And we're going to start with some little foodie events. So Epcot and SeaWorld Orlando have both started tiny food events that are smaller, more like manageable versions of their annual food events, with A Taste of Food and Wine for Epcot and A Taste of SeaWorld Seven Seas for SeaWorld. And there for SeaWorld, there are various markets every weekend between now and August 7th through the 9th. And Epcot's is going to run through like the latter half of this year.
Yo, dog, I heard you like food and wine.
So I gave you a really long food. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay.
Because that you told me beforehand, you're like, I have some things to say.
I have words. Do you know what you can't do while you're eating?
Wear a mask.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I'll take what is a mask for $600. We're in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And you're encouraging your guests to not wear masks at a food festival in your theme parks. And then... No, and if you're Disney, you're going to go ahead and say, hey, by the way, if you're eating or drinking, that doesn't count. You still have to wear your mask. Pick one. I need you to pick one.
Dave's here to cause trouble, people. Yeah, I find it so challenging because the mask thing is already super political and we don't get into that. But if you're asking people to take part in these food festivals, but they have to wear the mask when they're moving and then be take them off when they're eating and then be expected to put it back on and not stroll and eat, which is a thing at Epcot, especially. Yeah, it just seems like it's asking for trouble. But it all depends on the guests. And I was talking about this with... Matt and Theron in our group chat, and it all depends on the guests, because the parks can only take it so far. They can only do so much, and it relies on the guests themselves to actually follow the rules and stuff. And I would like to think that they would, but I would have to see for myself if that's actually a thing.
It's one of those things where if you're a multi-million-dollar corporation, why would you put yourself in that position?
That's true. I mean, money, for one thing. They're trying
of to... Of course.
For loss. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
I think they're also... They're trying to find ways to make it worth it for those coming to the parks, because you're already paying the normal amount for a ticket with, like, a quarter less of the amenities and the offerings. And they have to have something.
Here's a thought. You probably shouldn't be going on vacation right now.
That's the ticket. That's the ticket right there.
I understand why these parks are open.
Yeah.
It's because people, human beings work in this industry and they need to pay their bills and they need to do what they need to do. So yeah. I get it. But at the same time, those parks understood what the world is when they decided to open the gates back up.
Yeah.
So don't give me the shocked Pikachu face when you don't see people coming in the gates.
Yeah.
And then start doing things like this. Because now it looks like you're indecisive and you don't know which one you want.
Yeah. Well, on that same hand here, Knott's Berry Farm started their own Taste of event. But that park is still closed. Because, yeah. So here's the thing. So their new event is called Taste of Calico. It's an outdoor food and retail experience. And it's in Ghost Town. But the park is closed. Because the state of California hasn't released the guidelines for theme parks reopening yet.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. So this is a separately ticketed outdoor event, and it's only happening on select weekends at from 12 to 8 p.m. on Sundays and 4 to 10 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. And guests pay a certain amount to come into the park. They can eat all the boysenberry stuff they want. They can buy stuff from the market. And that's it. No rides, no characters or anything. But it's in Ghost Town. In the park.
I want more of that.
It sounds interesting. We did the, not too long ago, Knott's opened up like an online web store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we ordered a bunch of boysenberry stuff.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
It was a very large package.
We made boysenberry pancakes and we had cookies and the punch thing. We made drinks with that. It was awesome. But this seems like a cool and interesting way for fans of Knott's to get to go to the park without actually being open.
Being in a theme park, and it keeps their, you know, people are getting paid. It keeps them making some sort of money, nowhere near what they would if a theme park was open. But again, they've committed, it looks like, in one direction, and that's the direction they're going to go in. And excellent. Good for them.
Josh, I wanted to bring this up. Yes, Disneyland is not open. It was supposed to open on the 17th, I believe. But then the state decided that they wanted to re-examine the guidelines for reopening theme parks and attractions, and that they were supposed to release those guidelines sometime after July the 4th. It is July 19th at the time of this recording, and they have not said anything yet. So we're still waiting. We'll see what happens. I wouldn't expect anything until like August. I saw that they were canceling hotel reservations through August, like the first week.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes, yikes, yikes.
Another big thing happened this week.
Oh.
Yeah. Two things got kind of shelved. The Mary Poppins attraction for the UK Pavilion at Epcot and the Spaceship Earth update have both officially been postponed.
Okay.
Do you have thoughts on this too?
Buckle up, kids. I am a firm believer that Disney is the absolute champion of half commitment.
Oh, geez.
magic bands. We're going to commit to these magic bands, and then we're just not gonna. But we expect you, as the guest, to continue to commit as if nothing happened. Now, Epcot. We're going to commit to Epcot, and then we're not going to. But here, take the Food and Wine Baby Festival and make us commit. We're asking you to commit to Epcot. Keep committing to Epcot. Keep buying the food and wine things, but you're not going to get anything. You might get a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. We haven't quite said anything about that in a while yet either.
Well, this news, it was first noticed last week when guests went to the Epcot Experience. It's in the Odyssey Pavilion. It's like a big projection mapping screen thing that shows what the future of Epcot is going to be like. From D23 Expo 2019. And people noticed that the Spaceship Earth sections and the Mary Poppins sections had been removed. And then we reached out to Disney, and Disney confirmed that both of those projects have been postponed. So that does not mean canceled.
Correct.
It means postponed. Right. So there is still a possibility that it could happen. I think right now the parks are in not dire straits, but it's a situation in which they haven't really found themselves in before, and they're having to figure out where to put money for future projects, like Splash Mountain, for example. That is a crucial retheme that the state of the world and everything going on has kind of pushed that towards the forefront, whereas we don't necessarily need a Mary Poppins ride right now. I would argue that Spaceship Earth needs the refurb, but...
Yeah,
I think it needs the refurb, but I don't know, because it's complicated with the storytelling mist thing that Bob Chapek said it was going to have in it. I would want to think that the like original identity of the ride would be preserved and it would just be plussed, but I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
A long time. I really do think Tron and Splash Mountain are probably going to be the only things we get for a very long time.
I don't even see Splash happening for like at least 3 to 5 years.
When do you think the last operating day of the current Splash Mountain will be?
Probably in like a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
They haven't even surveyed the ride yet. They're just in the developmental stage.
Okay, so why did we announce the change?
Because...
Yes, you're right. It has to happen. But if you're not going to do it, you obviously don't think it needs to happen that badly.
Maybe the attention that the petitions got kind of lit a fire underneath them. But... the way that they explained it, they said that they were in the design stage and that after that will come the surveying where Imagineers will go into the ride and they will see what needs to be taken out, what needs to be adjusted, how much space they have to work with, and then they can establish a construction timeline. So unless they really like hightail it on that project, I don't see it happening this year, maybe next year. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
Did you shut down Splash Mountain for the 50th?
I don't even think we're going to get a 50th.
I mean, it's still going to happen. Like,
it'll happen.
And an anniversary happens no matter what happens.
Right. But, I mean, like, it won't be up to the level that people are anticipating.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Neither will Halloween Horror Nights. That's a different conversation for later.
We can talk about that when they actually announce something, I think.
Keep pushing. Keep hoping.
Do you think that they're going to just, like, wait? And then
I am a firm believer. I have nothing to stand on, but I've always said that you really don't have to market Halloween Horror Nights anymore. The name markets itself. The tickets sell themselves. You could open the gates and not have a house announced at all, and people will show up. And could you imagine... 10 haunted houses that people have no idea what they're going to be until they come into the gate. Incredible. Would be incredible. Please,
For the third one, too. Like, the only thing that you could guarantee would be, like, Jack.
Can you?
Can, well, I guess you don't have to. Yeah, man, I don't know.
Halloween Horror Nights 20, they came out with their own icon and said, he's the guy now. Fear. Who needs Jack? I mean, he was there, but I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just like, I'm bored. I'm ready for them to say something or say, hey, we're not going to say anything, but here's when Horror Nights starts. We'll see you then.
This is the same company that has erected a full roller coaster and hasn't said a word.
You are right about that. You are right about that. Let's see. Amusement Labs. They had the idea that Jack controls your night where they determine what you do for crowd control. I did hear that.
Uh-huh. I have heard that as well.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they could actually make it work and keep capacity low enough that you don't get conga-lined in a house.
The thing, I mean, tech is great. I love technology integrating into a theme park experience. I'm all about.
Yeah.
But if we haven't seen that kind of tech in the daily operation of their theme parks, I don't expect it. Because right now would be the guinea pigs.
They would have to have that so kind of stuff work. Touch and adjust, yeah.
Yeah. There's no way they have that kind of interface just show up in like however many weeks we have before Horror Night starts.
Not that many.
Eight?
8 weeks?
I don't quote me on that. I don't
have a calendar in front of me, but are you looking?
I'm looking right now. 10 weeks.
10 weeks. All right, guys, mark your calendars. 10 weeks until Halloween Horror Nights, and we see what that is, what that looks like.
Ooh, it's exciting times.
Yeah. Speaking of what going to theme parks looks like, Legoland received a bit of a change this week because of an ordinance in Winter Haven, the city where Legoland, Florida is located. The guests now have to wear face masks while indoors and on attractions. Previously, the park had only recommended face masks but not required them.
So, how many of us have been to Legoland?
I went to Legoland once.
Yeah.
Only one time, though.
Do you remember how hot and gross it was because everything's outside?
Yeah, everything is outside. I only did like two rides though. I was there for an E&L, and we did the little safari thing that is outside and the mummy shooter ride.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's super cute.
Completely blanked out on that. Yeah.
But yeah, so this means that if you're not going to be riding rides and you're going to be outside most of the time, you don't have to wear your mask. But if you are riding a ride, you have to wear the mask on the ride.
I'm sorry, what?
So
what kind of sense is that?
So here's the jargon.
Okay.
Visiting Legoland, Florida, all guests ages 8 and older are required to wear face coverings inside all indoor areas and attractions, with inside areas including indoor rides and attractions, restrooms, changing rooms, theaters, and restaurants when not actively eating.
Okay.
And the 8 and up thing is part of the city commissioner's mandate for Winter Haven.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, this wasn't we changed our minds on this. It was... we got told to do this.
This was a city requirement.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Fun fact, if you're in Winter Haven and you do not comply, you're subject to a fine of $150.
Is Legoland not private property?
I don't think that applies to Legoland, but it applies to Winter Haven.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But also changing up face mask things is Disney. As we talked about earlier with the food festivals and things, it's going to make it a little tricky to make sure the guests keep their masks on when they're not actively eating. because guests will walk around with drinks or food and be like, I'm eating, and they'll have their mask down underneath their chin. So now Disney has updated their policy to say that you have to be actively eating and drinking and be stationary to have your mask off.
I'm going to play devil's advocate real quick. Okay. Do you know what's going to happen?
No. What?
I'm gonna play the role of guest right now.
Okay.
And I have my drink, and I'm walking around.
Okay.
And I'm just going to stop cold wherever I am, drop it, not care who's around or what's around me, and just go to town.
Yeah, so the policy says that guests may remove their face coverings while actively eating or drinking, but you should be stationary and maintain appropriate physical distancing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Since I'm not in Orlando and I'm not going to the parks, I've been watching a lot of live streams in the parks. And I often see people with like Starbucks cups in their hands and their mask down here and they're walking around. They're not actively drinking it, but they have it. And they're like, I'm drinking it. And their masks are down under here. And I feel like this is a great amendment to the policy. It's just the enforcement that I think is yet to be seen. All the stories that I've heard, at least with enforcing the mask at the parks, is that cast members are on it. They're like, hey, put your mask back on.
Yeah.
So I hope that they really do enforce this, because it is kind of problematic to say, like, you have to be actively eating or drinking to keep the mask off and not say, and you also have to stay in one place because you're just asking people to wear the mask through security and then take it off once they get a food or a drink.
I hate to play the comparison game between parks.
Yeah.
But at that point, why don't you just set up a rest area where everyone can just buy all whatever food and wine stuff they're going to buy and just sit down on a bench somewhere and chill out.
Yeah.
And eat and drink. And then when you're done, face covering goes back on.
Mm-hmm.
Off you go.
And then there's the relaxation stations, too. If you can't have the mask on for long periods of time. I went out today to get dinner, and I had my mask on, and I was dying within, like, 15 minutes of having it on outside. So I really don't know how some of you guys do it at the park. I really don't. And, like, I have a cloth mask, and it has, like, a little filter pocket, so I have a filter in there, too. And it's just hot and sweaty and uncomfortable.
It's not fun. It's not ideal.
Here's a good question from Amusement Labs. So the parks are open and the vaccine is available in the distant future. Mm-hmm. What do the parks do and how do they enforce it?
I honestly feel like facial coverings are here for a long time.
Yeah.
Vaccine or not, treatment or not, facial coverings are going to be around for a very, very long time.
I have to agree. Because they can't make you get the shot.
No.
No,
not at all.
And they can't. I'm pretty sure it's a HIPAA violation to ask you if you
have it. If you've had it.
Yeah. Had it or not. So they can't do that either. So I think until there is a point where we have effectively eradicated this virus or whatever, that you have to wear the mask. You have to wear the mask when you visit. For the foreseeable future, cast members will have to wear the face shields. No characters, no parades, no nighttime shows. For a good while.
This is the new normal.
Yeah.
As unfortunate as it is. And this kind of industry has never had anything like this happen before. I think I was talking with someone at work where it almost seems like amusement parks and this kind of entertainment was a byproduct of the last pandemic, almost. If you look at it timeline wise, people were cooped up for so long and they wanted to have fun, and up popped amusement parks everywhere. So how does that industry, who has never seen something like this before, right? Like, what does that adaptation look like? And I think we're looking at it now, at least in some form.
Yeah.
This might be, you know, post-pandemic theme park 1.0. We have to see what 2.0 and 2.5 look like going forward. But this is definitely, this is the start of a new future.
Mm-hmm. I also got to say, not having FastPass and seeing how the virtual queue for Rise of the Resistance has been working, they should have been doing this the whole time.
Look at that.
I've seen so many streams where they're like, I got a pass to go on Rise of the Resistance and I didn't have to get here at 6 a.m. And it was awesome. And I was like, man, I wish that they had that when I was at Disney in March, because we showed up to studios like 2 hours early to get a boarding pass, like get into the park and get one. And
what
that
number did you get?
Like 26 or something. Oh, Josh got it. It was really good. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It was Josh, his friend Carson, me, and Banks. And we were all on our phones trying to get a pass at the same time. So
the amount of times I've gone, I think the closest I got was like 28 or something like that. Afterwards, I got like 69 and like 132. And it's very, it was happenstance, because I showed up at the same time almost every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited to try this new version out. I have yet to watch the movie part, but I'm excited to try this out.
Yeah. So if you don't know the new virtual queue thing for Rise of the Resistance, you can get boarding passes at 10 a.m., 1 p.m. and 4, or 10, 4, and there's another one.
Is it 10, 2, and 4? No, 10 and 2 are driving.
Either way, there are 3 times a day that you can get it, and those are your chances. They release a group of boarding passes, and you go and get them the same way you would prior to shutdown on the My Disney Experience app, and that's how you ride Rise at this point. And they have like a standby like time. They actually use that standby wait timeline now, and it just seems so much easier and so less stressful.
Now, why don't we do this with more rides?
Especially
in this world.
Yeah. I think virtual queue is awesome. I think it works pretty well as far as we've seen it demonstrated in the parks. FastPass Plus sucks.
Bye.
It's a nightmare. Throw it away.
Terrible.
Terrible. Well, and the way that they're trying to, it seems like they're trying to phase out the Magic Band system. With you said this earlier, because they're making it to where your phone can like tap into your hotel room and you can use that to pay with like your My Disney Experience and your credit card linked to it and everything. So,
it's almost as if the technology existed outside of the Disney bubble. And they insisted on investing in their own version of it for kicks and giggles.
And it's a wearable, and it's like merchandise that you can buy, and you can customize it and
sell it.
Here's a good question: is virtual queue and MaxPass the same thing? It is not. MaxPass is cool though. I think it's more expensive now, but when I went to Disneyland in 2017. It was right after they launched, and it was $10 a day per person. And you could make fast passes on your phone. It's very cool, but you have to pay for it. I think it's gone up to like $20 now, $15 or $20. But virtual queue is free. You just sign up on your phone. Currently, Rise is the only thing that has virtual queue. So don't expect it for anything else.
Do you think when Disneyland eventually does reopen, MaxPass just becomes the standard and they don't charge for it for a while?
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't know. I mean,
it seems hard to believe that Disney would let go of a revenue stream, but how else does Disneyland function?
Well, and Disneyland is so vastly different from Disney World as far as the community that attends the parks. You know, they are catering to a local group of annual pass holders most of the time.
Yeah.
And what better way to entice them to come back than to say, like, for the time being, we'll let you make fast passes on your phones for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll make you pay if you want the photos still.
Right. Like $500 to get the downloads.
It becomes a photo package on its own instead of the bundle that it is now. But a park that small kind of needs this kind of an interface.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm still waiting for the state of California to say what the parks have to do to reopen.
They won't say anything until the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a very interesting position that they're in over there where they kind of have the parks cornered.
Yeah.
As much as they want to, they can't. We're supposed to in Florida where they're like, yeah, go ahead. And now they're open. You can't reel that back.
Yeah. I wondered, it was kind of touch and go there right before Disney first opened. I was like, it's getting kind of bad down there. Are they going to?
Are they not? Yeah.
But they did. And I mean, they seem to be sticking to their guns as far as keeping everything safe. So we shall see. But that is it for me with news in the queue.
Oh, look at that.
All the news of this week. Except there is one big thing. A big, big thing. Well, big to be. For the main attraction this week, I wanted to talk about Disney confirming the closure of three things.
Yeah.
Let's have a moment of silence, shall we? For
one out.
For Rivers of Light, Primeval World, and Stitch's Great Escape.
No, I'm not pouring one out for play Stitch. Get out of here.
Play my tiny violins.
In the arms of an angel.
All right. Well, I got to say, I'm sad about Rivers. I am genuinely sad about Rivers. Not Rivers of Light, We Are One, because that is trash.
No. Hey, remember that time I told you that Disney loves to half commit to things and expects their guests to fully commit to things? Enter the ring. Rivers of Light. Wow.
Man. And I remember I got to go to the cast preview of that show, and it was incredible. The music was great. It was beautiful. The theater was built for such a huge spectacle like
that. It was.
And yeah. I loved it. And then they changed it, and they shortened it. They cut out like a whole 20-minute chunk of the show because a cast preview, at least, it was really long.
It was long. It was like, what, a 50-minute show?
Yeah, and then they cut it to 30 or 20. But it was beautiful. And I was like, whoa, like this is a whole different kind of nighttime show for Disney. And then they changed it. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. I still like it. And then they changed it to We Are One because they needed IPs in there. And just ruined it. They took away the shamans and the
soiled it.
The actors got rid of it. Yeah, man. Banks says will not miss any of those attractions. Tell them how you feel. But that one is closed. And then Primeval World, which has been kind of up and down, no pun intended. That one has been in and out of seasonal operation for the past like year, I think. And one day it just closed and they said it's seasonal. And then it never opened again. And now it's just closed for good.
It's seasonal is code for Disney saying, we don't feel like paying for this all year round.
And then Stitch's Great Escape was the same thing. I don't think that it closed in like 2018.
There's no way that could have come back even if it wanted to. I believe those animatronics are long gone from in there.
I mean, if you've seen the photos from Backdoor Disney.
Ugly AAs.
Not condoning it in any way, but we've all seen the pictures. That building has just been vacant, and they finally said
Stitch
that it's closed.
Meets during a during the parties. Like I think Elvis Stitch met during Halloween, and Christmas Stitch during.
But it was just Christmas in the pre-show room.
Right.
Went beyond that. Bink said we had some good times riding Primeval World. I believe there's specifically a video of you and I riding Primeval World and you like screaming in pain because it was slinging us.
You can't have a good time on Primeval World. Especially if you got back problems. Ooh, baby, that's gonna knock a hip out.
I always liked that it was kind of rickety and crappy.
I think, you know, I honestly feel like it's probably, yeah, it was probably part of the gimmicks of like, yeah, it's a carny ride. It's terrible.
Right. But I loved it. I thought it was so dumb and so bad, but I thought it was so much fun. I love the theming of Chester and Hester's Dino-rama. I think it's so, like, kitsch and fun. And that ride was just a part of it. It was a part of the crappy carnival aesthetic. And I'm sad to see it go. More than anything, I'm really sad when stuff like this closes, because then it becomes like a vacant space in a theme park. Yeah. And that's
what Banks, I'm gonna look at. Same as that coaster, you become a fun spot. Look at that savagery. Absolute savagery, and he's not wrong. Not wrong at all.
No, you're not.
Six Flags Great Adventure has a coaster called the Dark Knight Coaster. It's one of the worst roller coasters I've been on in my life. And all it is Primeval World in the dark.
That sounds scary.
With some Batman stuff around it.
That's cool, though.
Terrible. No, it's not.
No?
It's not. When you wait 4 hours thinking it's the next best coaster that Six Flags puts out, and then you ride a Crazy Mouse, it's not that good. It's not a good time at all.
But... yeah, Disney officially said that these guys they're gone. They're closed. Rest in peace. I can estimate, or I guess infer, we're not going to see a replacement nighttime show anytime soon.
Absolutely not.
That theater is going to be the biggest relaxation station in Animal Kingdom.
Hey, remember when Disney committed to Animal Kingdom and said that they really wanted it to be a full day park and you should enjoy the nighttime there as much as you can, and then pulled back one of two nighttime offerings they had in that park, but still expect us to come for nighttime stuff? Yeah.
And now they're down a ride, too.
Look at that.
Yeah. They haven't said what they're going to do with the space, obviously, and I don't think we're going to know for a long time. Of course, I'm sure you guys have heard the rumors about Stitch's Great Escape being replaced with something Wreck-It-Ralph related. But I wonder if the space can actually fit that, you know?
Probably not.
Because it was like, the rumor was like a VR, like, race kind of thing.
Didn't the Void do that?
They did a VR Wreck-It-Ralph experience that is closed, I believe. I think the Void...
super closed.
Yeah, they broke their license agreement and all the Disney stuff got taken away.
Oh, is that what happened?
Uh-huh.
Ooh, what'd they do?
I don't know.
You know? Oh, you don't know? Oh.
I have no idea.
That's a bummer.
It was just like a sign on the Disneyland location.
Yikes.
Yeah, so we don't know what's going to replace these things, but I wanted to talk to you about your dream replacement for these things.
All of them?
All of them. We can start with Rivers. Because we can't have fireworks at any
Cannot. I mean...
A wild Joshua appears.
There. Did he just shush?
Yeah, he said, shh, don't mind me.
Rivers was as good as we would have gotten in that space.
Yeah.
And that would have fit the Animal Kingdom aesthetic. But what we're going to see is some World of Color knockoff filled with animal jungle IPs and nothing else, and probably whatever movie comes out that summer.
You mean like this?
Yep.
Amusement Lab said World of Color, something with animals. And
that's
honestly right. Animal Illuminations.
Yep.
Hey, remember when Rivers was supposed to have drones in it? I remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Do you remember when Disney World had us commit to a drone show at Disney Springs for 5 minutes and said, this is the future of our nighttime things?
I think we actually went and watched that together.
You did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. It
was you, me, and Adam?
I think he
was there. Yeah. And we were like, that's it? But I guess if this is the future... we're here for it. And that was like what? 5 years ago?
No, it was like three. It was in 2017.
Okay.
I think. Sure. Yeah. But we never saw that come to fruition. And then Rivers just got stripped away and stripped away and stripped away. Yeah, I feel like.
If I was Joe Rohde, I'd walk out. I'd be like, all right, guys, I'm done here. Y'all clearly don't want talent here. I'm gonna go.
He's busy working on that new private island locale in the Bahamas. He's busy. I would be fine. I guess I would say fine with a World of Color kind of equivalent there. That theater is just so big. It's a people eater. You need something in there and something that will capture people's imaginations and attention without fireworks, which is something that I feel like people complained about so much with Rivers. It's like, it's cool, but there's no climax to it.
When you condition your audience to the same thing, mm-hmm. beat by beat, in all of your parks, not just your parks at Walt Disney World, but all of your parks. This is what happens when you stray from the norm. And again, all it takes is for you to commit and the people will come around.
I get it. I get it. Okay, so Rivers, we would see like a World of Color thing maybe. What about Stitch? Because that is a very specifically sized space.
Stitch, you close the store, you close the ice cream shop, and you take the whole tower. You drop an attraction there.
But what? What IP? Because I have a problem with the way that they just throw anything in Tomorrowland and it fits. Like, Toy Story is not Tomorrowland. It's just not. But I don't think Wreck-It Ralph is Tomorrowland either.
Not quite either. I think Tron is the closest thing we've had entering Tomorrowland that is Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, unless they come out with some sort of IP that is futuristic in the next, 5 to 10 years, nothing that they have now really, really fits. And they're not going to double down on Tron. That's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, or, I mean, you really can't in a post-pandemic world, but why? I mean, the void's gone. Why don't you do your own?
That's true.
In the park.
Yeah. Marvel, it would depend on the IP, I think.
Guardians is already at Epcot, which that would have been the one to do.
Yeah.
You could do Black Panther. And have Wakandan tech be the focus of it.
That is an interesting thought. Yeah. For those of you who listen to me keep saying IP over and over, it is intellectual property. It's basically any kind of creation of Disney, like their rides and their films and their characters. Those are all intellectual property. So when I say like what IP would fit in this space, I'm saying like if you could put Marvel or Toy Story or Pixar or whatever in there, what would you choose? That's kind of what I mean by that. I don't know if Wreck-It Ralph would count, Brian. I feel like that doesn't fit the theme of Tomorrowland. But then at the same time, Disney World hasn't had like a consistent Tomorrowland theme in like 20 years.
Since like it opened, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, Ant-Man.
True.
The Ant-Man ride at Shanghai is awesome. Yeah, but it's a re-theme of Buzz. So then that makes Buzz irrelevant.
But I mean, so we lose Buzz,
and
do Ant-Man, but that leans things to an easier transition. So now, in a world where you have Tron, Ant-Man, and this space, what do you bring in?
I would put Black Panther there.
Do there like you go.
A Wakandan tech thing.
Yeah.
Make it
you're coming into the labs at Shuri's labs, and she's showing off the latest Wakandan tech, and some crazy things happen instead. Or
the World's Fair Expo future kind of thing.
Yeah. Or just pluck that scene from Black Panther when you're piloting a fighter jet.
There you go. And then that's another flight simulator ride. Those are easy and cheap. Boom, baby. All right. And then for the big mama of the list.
The big mama.
Primeval World. What would you put there?
Okay. Now that Primeval World is gone, Dinoland's done.
Yeah.
Dinoland is absolutely done. Dinosaur can stay. because it's not really even inherent to the Dino Land theme. You can do so much in Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one. I just saw Banks post that. That what about an original idea? That's where the original idea goes.
I did not think you were going to go that way.
That's where the original idea goes. Animal Kingdom is the land of original ideas. Animals belong to the planet. They don't belong to a brand, to a name, the environment, the world. That is your brand. You don't need to bring in, I think Pandora's as close as you can get with bringing in a brand name or an IP.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom, nature in itself, is your canvas, and you can do sky's the limit. And with that kind of land, you can craft a story, craft a land around that story, and have it be this seamless thing. What that is? I don't know, baby. I ain't no Imagineer. Yeah.
Put that on a shirt. I ain't no Imagineer. There you go. We'll see that on Redbubble in a couple hours. Yeah, I mean, I always heard a rumor that Indiana Jones was planned for that space. But that was 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that they would retheme Dinosaur to Indy, Disneyland's Indiana Jones Adventure, and then take that entire area and turn it into an Indiana Jones land. Then tie it in with the narrative to Asia and Anandapur and all of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that.
But that was also a really long time ago when I heard that rumor. So
Indiana Jones is kind of a dead name now.
Well, until they unearth Harrison Ford and make him make another one.
Just poke him with a stick. Come on, man.
Banks says, Sydney says, expand the Nemo area and make that whole land Australia and make dinosaurs some kind of an excavation site area. Is Sydney an Imagineer?
Ooh. Baby, she's an Imagineer.
Oh my goodness. Brian says, an Emperor's New Groove attraction. Listen, an Emperor's New Groove dark ride would be absolutely charming, and I would love that. You got Dave excited.
See, I'm starting to come out my shell a little more as we go on longer and longer. You're going to find out that I am this weird amalgamation of Chini and Cusco, for better or for worse. I'll let you be the judge of that. But this is an Emperor's New Groove household. And we absolutely will back anything that is approved by the Cusco Seal of Approval.
Well, there you go. That's our stance. We're pulling this lever.
We are pulling this lever.
We want it. An Emperor's New Groove attraction, a dark ride with a hidden roller coaster element. That just scares your pants off. Kind of similar to, in my mind, I would imagine it to be similar to the drop in Hagrid's.
The drop. And me to it.
Yeah, the drop in Hagrid's where you're doing the dark ride and then it just happens. And then you're like, oh God. And before you know it, it's already happened and it's passed you by.
It's over.
But it happened and it surprised you. Yes. That's okay. That's our official campaign. That's our stance. If you're listening, you're in charge. You can have that one for free. Just invite us to the opening.
Absolutely. Dear Mr. Rohde, don't leave yet. Build this and then you can leave.
But invite us when it opens. I want to.
Absolutely. I want to be there.
But yeah, man, now I'm excited. Now I'm just going to, go put on Emperor's New Groove on Disney Plus. Is it on Disney Plus?
Of course it is.
Well, some things aren't on Disney Plus, okay? Tarzan just got added or 3 weeks ago. Yes.
I did not explore that catalog well enough. That's wild. That's also someone else you could really expand on in Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Tarzan is vastly underloved. I would agree.
Underexposed. So people have forgotten about him. That came out in, 99? 2000?
I think it was 99.
I was in the second grade when Tarzan came out.
I was 5 years old.
I hate that.
I was five. I was in kindergarten.
I hate that a lot. I forget that this is a dynamic we have.
It is. It's the same thing with Banks. I always reminded him of his age when he would talk about stuff, and I would be like, oh, I was two when that happened.
I hate that a lot.
Oh, man. Well, before we say goodnight, I would like to thank our newest club and VIP subscribers. We only have one this week, Chad Corson. Thank you so much for becoming a VIP subscriber. We really appreciate it. We hope you love what we do. And keep listening if you're listening to this now. And if you're not, you should listen to it because I said so.
Your name's in it.
Yeah. You have to. Yeah. Now, Dave, if you would, tell the kind people at home where everyone can find you on the social medias.
Hey, I'm on Twitter at Mr. Safety Ninja. That's a capital M and a capital S and a capital N. Be proper here.
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. Occasionally on twitch.tv/BrittPlays3Ts and on the Attractions Magazine socials and attractionsmagazine.com. It's a lot.
That was a lot. That's a mouthful.
Banks had to do it every week, and now I'm going to have to do it every week.
Wait, it sounded like you had been doing it for a while.
No, I've just heard him do it 43 times. It's like
44 is all yours.
Grained in my brain. It was like when we did ENL for so long. It was like, welcome to Early Night Live, the number one theme park live stream in the world.
You are just insistent on having mouthfuls of intros and outros, aren't you?
I think it's fun.
Really close.
I don't know what happened.
What did you do? Did you try to load a video?
No, I think I accidentally clicked. I have a gamer mouse, everybody, and there's like a back button that I accidentally clicked. My B.
How could you?
I'm embarrassed. I knew that something would go wrong my first time out, and sure enough, it did. I accidentally kicked myself out of the stream.
I'm surprised the stream didn't just close itself.
No, you're still here.
That's good to know. Good to know that's a thing.
Well, I'm sorry I embarrassed myself, but I appreciate you guys for hanging out, and I hope I did okay. And thank you, Dave, for coming on this journey with me. I feel like we are going to get into lots of fun trouble.
Shenanigans.
But until next time, stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, but most of all, have fun, guys.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.